to the 16th in the series of Shi'urim lectures on the part of the Megen Nevuchim, the Rambam's Guide for the Perplexed, on which deals with the subject matter of his, what is usually called his negative theology. We are moving along. We are up to chapter 64, Parak Samach Dalet. Once again, I'm in the Schwartz edition, which directly translates into Lashon HaKodesh from the original Arabic of the Rambam on page 165. And the Rambam now, I would say that the Rambam in the is continuing in understanding the concept of negative theology as it's spoken about in the Chumash. In chapter 63, Perek Samach Gimel, we spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, the notion of Ekya Asher Ekya, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded by Kodesh Baruch Hu, right at Har Sinai, to go to the Jewish people and to demonstrate, to philosophically explain the notion of the necessary existence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which of course is the Rambam's notion of the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God, right, in accordance with the Jewish notion of monotheism. And we spoke about those psukim, we spoke about the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. Last lecture was devoted to the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was lecture 15. Very, very important. People should even listen to that lecture twice, because it's very fundamental in an entire understanding of the Moreh Nevuchim. In any case, the Rambam is continuing on the same subject, namely the notion, the concept of God as a necessarily existent being in the Chumash, and how the Chumash refers to that. So we're going to have interesting surprises. Baruch Hashem, the Rambam is always filled with interesting surprises for us. Amit Hashem, we're going to try to cover several parakim, and we're going to see why actually what they're coming to tell us. Now, says the Rambam, Da! You should know, Ki le'itim koivois, very frequently, Miskavnim b'shem Hashem l'shem b'vat. In other words, many times when the Torah uses Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Rambam has already told us that the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Shem HaMafulish, the explicit name of God, denotes the concept of the necessary existing God, which is the true concept of God, which reflects man's proper understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Rambam, but many times the Chumash, when it uses Yud Kei Vav Kei, is not actually referring to some philosophical concept of God, but rather it's just a name, Hashem, like I say Hashem, not Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem. Like it says, there the Torah is not, speaking about using the philosophical concept of necessarily existent God in vain, but rather the Torah is just saying not to use God's name in vain. In other words, when you say a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you say the name God, right? When you swear it, you shouldn't use it in vain in a way in which you're not saying anything. Or, for example, the Nekev Shem Hashem, right? Ze Rav Mani Zipur. In other words, there are too many to count. And what the Rambam says that many times the Torah speaks about the name of God, it's not actually referring to the concept of the necessarily existent God, but it's just saying when you use God's name, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. V'yeshim is kabnim by latzmusis alav misosai. But there are some times when the Torah is actually referring to God's essence. In other words, the philosophical notion of God, the necessarily existent God. Now, what's the example when the Torah is explicitly referring to God as a necessarily existent being, right? What it says in Shema is, V'omu lo'i ma'shema. In other words, when Moshe Rabbeinu says to Kodesh Baruch Hu, I've already spoken about this in Perek Samach Gimel, where the Jewish people say, what is his name? They're just looking for Moshe Rabbeinu to pronounce a name. They're looking for Moshe Rabbeinu to explicate, right, the true monotheistic concept of the necessarily existing God. Now, goes on the Rambam, Yeshem is gavnim bo letzav shalo yisale. Right? Right? There are also some phrases which only speak about God commanding. Like it says, Shem Hashem kilo manu devar Hashem, mam Hashem. No, but sometimes Shem Hashem basically just speaks about a command of God. Like it says, Kishmi bekilboy. Right? Hashem Hashem usai devar bekilboy or mamori bekilboy. Interesting. That's speaking about the malach. Rashi says, Chazal say, malach batat. But Shmi bekilboy is not a concept of imminence. Right? As is usually understood. But, I mean, certainly by the Mekubalim. But rather, Shmi b'kiboy means that, in other words, I'm going to command it. In other words, he's going to carry my commands. In other words, he's the messenger for my commands. Hamashmos he shehi machshelo tzoyni v'cheftzi. In other words, the mashmos is that that this malach is going to, you know, is to convey my rotzoy, my desire, my commands. Oin azbis ha-devom kasher asoy b'shitto malach z'd Rambam. I'll explain this later when we speak about the malach. Okay, now. Cain, what's very interesting is, and already we have a signal here in the Rambam. The Rambam has not produced a single pasuk in which the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei is referring to God's essence. Interesting. When the Rambam says sometimes, when you use the name, and you're referring to his essence, the Rambam produced the pasuk, they're going to say, what is his name? Which means, what is his essence? But the Rambam has not produced a single pasuk in which Yud Kei Vav Kei refers to God's essence. Very interesting. Does this not contradict what the Rambam has told us already several chapters, which began this entire discussion, beginning in Samach Aleph, chapter 61, page 155, the Yud Kei Vav Kei refers to God's essence. Okay, the plot is going to thicken. Now, Cain, in addition, Kavod Hashem. Kavod means the honor of God. Yesha Kavana bo Or Hanivra Asher Akel Masha Oisim B'Mokim. Sometimes, when the Torah uses Kavod Hashem, it speaks about somehow a light which illuminates the world, a light which is created by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Al derech neis, for example, vayishkoyin kavod Hashem al har Sinai, vayichaseyu ha'onan shesh ha'shamim, vayikol ha'meishim b'yam ha'shvi b'tech ha'onan, umar kavod Hashem ke'esh ha'ches p'reish ha'al ha'nik ha'yisrael. Basically, there was a light at har Sinai. So kavod Hashem means this light. Or it says, kavod Hashem moli es ha'mishkai. First of all, light which HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates. Now, obviously, it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, because it says the kavod Hashem, which means or ha'nivra, a light which is created by God. Ah, however, says the Rambam, Yeshem is kavdim boy le'atzmusa yisale. Sometimes when we use kavod, kavod Hashem, referring to a Kadosh Baruch Hu's atzmus, v'abisosoy, in other words, the truth of his existence. In other words, the concept of the necessarily existing God, k'mo she'omar, like it says, hareni nas kavodecha. We already spoke about that. Uva'atshuva, kilo ya'ane adam v'chayim. The Rambam already spoke about that in Parak Nun Dalet. Mashamayosh HaKovid Nema Kadu Atzmusai. Now, how do we know, right? Now, why was Kovid used to refer to God's essence? In other words, use some other name for God's essence. Why? Because Kovidcha is Lashon HaRatza. Praise. B'doyim L'mashah B'yadol El Gavarisam V'omalu Mashamay. In other words, basically, in what way is God great that we should praise Him? How should we praise Him? How should we glorify Him, extol Him? Now, interesting, the Rambam has still not produced one example in the Chumash where Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem, is referring to God's essence. In other words, the closest thing that the Rambam has gotten to is Kavod. Harei Nas Kavodecha, Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Harei Nina, at Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why not? If Yud Kei Vav Kei refers, like the Rambam has told us in Samach Aleph, refers to the Shem HaMefurash, how come the Torah, so far the Rambam has not produced a single example where the Torah, in fact, uses it as a Shem HaMefurash? Okay, now, the Rambam goes on and speaks about kavod. Yesha kavona kavod la'arotzis kol b'nei odza misakel. Right, sometimes when kavod is used, the word kavod is used, it refers to the extolling of a Kodesh Baruch Hu by human beings. Yes, okay, and kol mashu zulasi is ala ma'aritzoi soy, ki arotzosi abisosis hu asokas kudulasoi. Now, of course, when you extolling a Kodesh Baruch Hu, meaning is an apprehension, right, of his greatness. Like a misha mazik is kudulasoi, vishlei musoi, a person who's able to apprehend God's greatness as perfection, in other words, he'll be able to extol him in accordance with his apprehension. Basically, Kodesh Baruch Hu extol God in accordance with his intellectual conceptualization of God is. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is that there's a reason the Torah uses kavod to refer to God's essence. The more I'm made aware, the more I'm intellectually conscious of God's essence, then the more I'll extol him. In other words, sometimes the Torah speaks about we'll see examples where kavod is, Kodesh Baruch Hu is extolled by even daimen, by rocks, by plants. But this just means that we learn from plants that God created them. And by understanding that God created them, then in fact, that in turn leads to a extolling of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because these things, of course, cannot speak. Okay, now, in other words, the holy tongue, the Hebrew language, right, is very... it's quite flexible in this case. The psukim, like Lashon HaKodesh, use a mirror even on things which normally don't speak. In other words, if they would speak, of course, obviously my bones can't speak. But in other words, when I look at these things, and by looking at the world, I apprehend my Creator, and this brings me to extolling the Creator. So as if the world, in other words, the world which is even that part of the world which is not organic, right, is like it's extolling a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Well, the fish call the mashbo zayis kavoy, nema b'loy chalos kavoydoy, utilosim le'al oretz shekain hasheva kolei kavoyd, nema tnu l'Hashem elokechem kavoy. In other words, the world is giving extolling God. So kavod is a general word used for extolling God. And of course, in this case, it doesn't mean an intellectual apprehension, because certainly plants and rocks and animals and all of nature doesn't have an intellectual apprehension. But in other words, the Hebrew language is extremely flexible in using the same word in different contexts. Right? The basic thing is that the person, right, man's connection with the world, leads him to extol God. So therefore, what we do is we attach the verb kavod to the amira of kavod to the world at large. Okay. In any case, like this, ze mofia habe. This occurs many, many times. It says the Rambam, don't be bothered if it's the kavod. It refers to the daimim, refers to things which are lifeless, because there's all different levels of kavod, all basically aim in the same direction. That the more a person apprehends the world, he also extols God. Kal v'chomer, how much more so if a person apprehends the essence of God himself. Havein eifo gamis hashita fazeh, kavod, ufarosh yaseh b'chol mokom l'fi ekshari. In other words, says the Rambam, when you see kavod, you have to explain it in the proper context in which it appears. As t'chalitz b'tu yez gedolez, in which case you actually save yourself from, chas v'shalom, many mistakes. Now, I want to go back over this. We've just read and translated, we haven't understood it, but that's the one question remains. The question is, the Rambam has been unable to produce for us a single pasuk in the Torah where, in fact, Yud Kei Vav Kei is actually referring to God's essence. The best he can do is the word kavod. I mean, he also used the pasuk, v'amuloi mashamai, but mashamai is speaking about that. In other words, what is his name? The Rambam says mashamai means what what is the concept of the God that I should communicate to Klal Yisrael, to Moshe Rabbeinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But really, what Moshe Rabbeinu says, show me your essence, the actual essence, is referred by the word kavod. Okay, the question is, number one, why has the Rambam not produced the pasuk? Well, that's an obvious answer to that question. The pasuk doesn't exist. But what's interesting is that why is Perek Samach Dalet? In other words, the Rambam began Perek Samach Aleph by telling me that there's something called Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the shame of a foolish. That refers to God's essence. And the Rambam took me on an entire history of the world. The base, first base of Mikdash, the second base of Mikdash, right? The Gemara in Kiddush, the fine Aleph, the first they used to say Hashem HaMafuresh, the Kahanim, etc., etc. The Ram took me through an entire history of in which the ineffable name of God, which is really, in fact, the philosophical concept of God's necessary existence, was somehow passed on in a secretive manner. In other words, the Ram took me down history. But the fact is that, and in fact, actually, but the fact is that that the Rambam never basically based himself on Chazals. It is true, there's a pasuk in Zechariah, page 157, the Rambam says, "Bayom Yehu Shem Echad Ushmo Yachad." That's in the Nevi'im. In other words, the first psukim that we see that are in fact referring to the essence of God, but the Shem of Foolish, are actually first in the Nevi'im. Bayom Yehu Hashem Echad Ushmo Yachad. The Rambam says this on page 157 in Perek Samach Aleph. Right? The Rambam brings a Pirkei de Rabbi Yezu, right? That says, Achlo Nivra Oilam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmo Levad. In other words, Nevi'im Chazal. Where's the Chumash? Where's the Chumash? The Rambam speaks about Bechas Kahanim, that the Kohenim with blessed Klal Yisrael, Rambam brings, it says in the Sefri, this is page 158, Kohis of Ochr is Ben Yisrael, right? But that's a drosha, B'Shem Mufurash. That's a drosha, B'Shem Mufurash. But the Torah itself is not, in other words, the drosha of Chazal, but it's certainly not the Pshat in the Pasuk. Then the Rambam went on, Perek Samach Gimel, Moshe Rabbeinu, what name should I sell Klal Yisrael? The Rambam interprets the entire dialogue as it comes both, communicating to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's going to communicate in terms of the Jewish people, the philosophical concept of God. But it doesn't never uses Yud Kei Vav Kei to refer to God. This Rambam is a great example of this. Okay? The only place in the Chumash where the Rambam focuses on, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually explicating him, his existence, his necessary existence, is Ekya Sherekya. On page 163, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Ekya, and in the Schwartz edition, 163, there's an explanation that Ekya Sherekya basically tells me God is a necessarily existent. But once again, it's not Yud Kei Vav Kei. Even though there's a Kedusha to Ekya Sherekya, it's not Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's not what the Rambam spoke about in the beginning. Now, so what's interesting is that the Rambam has made this claim, but the usage of Yud Kei Vav Kei as Shem HaForesh seems to have originated with the Nevi'im during Bayis Rishon, during Bayis Sheni, and in the Mar Nevuchim. At least, referring to the name explicitly, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, what's interesting is, after this, the Rambam says in Perek Samach Dalet that many times when the Torah uses Yud Kei Vav Kei, it doesn't mean the concept of the necessarily existing God, but just means the name of God, swearing in the name of God, being naikev, in other words, Isulim prohibitions when a person uses the name of God, but it's not actually referring to the philosophical concept. So, what the Rambam has done in Perek Samach Dalet is basically telling me, what he's really telling me, is that the Torah itself never uses Yud Kei Vav Kei as the Shem HaMafurash. In other words, the philosophical concept of the Torah is never referred to by Yudkei Vavkei. It seems, according to the Rambam, that the philosophical connotation of Yudkei Vavkei, in fact, begins with the Nevi'im and was continued in Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, by what the Gemara speaks about, the Shem Ben Abba Oisius and the Shem Ben Abba Vishtaim Oisius, etc., etc. Now, the most we get in the Chumash is Kavod. The most we get in the Chumash is Kavod. Now, I would like to raise the question, two questions. Question number one is, why is this true? Why is it that the Chumash itself never, in fact, refers to Yud Kei Vavkei? And the second question, Yud Kei Vavkei is the philosophical concept of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, of God. And the second question is, what are the implications? What are the implications of this? Now, there are several answers that we can propose. One answer would be that the Rambam, in his discussion in Perek Samach Beis, told us that throughout history, the Rambam speaks about the Shema Hashem Mefurash was actually, there were several people who knew how to pronounce it. The Rambam says, because pronouncing it in Chazal is the same thing as understanding the concept. But then later on, this was abused. So they went to another name. Right? They went to another name. In other words, the Ben Shtemesrei Oisius. In other words, basically, the Rambam understands that throughout Jewish history, what happens is that there was a certain name that was abused, that referred to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then somehow that was done away with when it became much more public, and they used other names, and people started abusing that name, etc., etc. In other words, there was a historical degeneration, of the Shem Hashem Mefurash due to the fact that abuse has become more public. That's the Rambam Shita. The Rambam spoke that out very, very clearly. It described the entire process in Perek Samach Beis. Now, so, in other words, what happens is that, as we see that later on in history, in other words, the actual usage of the explicit name, for example, the name becomes more explicit in Jewish history. So, but the Nevi'im, but it said, Ya Hashem Echad Shmo Yachad. So when Zechariah said, Ya Hashem Echad Shmo Yachad, that Yud Kei Vavkei of Zechariah was the Shem Hashem Mefurash, Ben Abba Oisius. And then it became 12 Oisius. Then it became 48 Oisius. In the Chumash, it wasn't pronounced at all. In other words, in the Chumash, it was never pronounced at all. It was basically, an idea that was passed on, but wasn't pronounced at all. In the Nevi'im, it became pronounced. As a result of becoming pronounced, it was a degeneration, right? And the next stage, they had to go to another name. And ultimately, we lost the pronunciation of the Shema Mefurash. In other words, what the Rambam is probably saying is, in the time of the Chumash, there was a name, but the Torah never expressed it. It wasn't pronounced. It was never expressed. It was only called the name of God, the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In history, this idea, right, came on to take on a linguistic expression, and that itself was lost, and it took on a more linguistic expression. It went from 4 letters to 12 letters to 48 letters. Now we have a whole section of Bar Nebuchim, a negative theology. In other words, the concept, in a certain sense, required much more explanation. In other words, many more words become much more explicit. But at the time of the Chumash, it was hidden. There wasn't even a word that was used to describe it. So in other words, we could understand that in fact, actually, is the Shita Sarambam. That, in fact, actually, in other words, the notion of Yud Kei Vavkei was something which was never used as a name of God. Now, you might ask the question, why should it be? In other words, what should it be? Why should it be that in history, an abstract concept like this becomes more you know, subject to the, you know, to pronouncing a name? So, in other words, maybe it could possibly be, I don't know, I mean, it's only guesswork, that maybe in the time of the Chumash, when there was so much Avodah Zarah, they didn't want to use a name. They didn't want to use a name. There's a, this Gemara at the end of Brachos, the Gemara says, Eis l'seshes l'shem hafer serasecha. It was a time in the Chumash when they used to say, you know, Boch haba b'shem Hashem, Yudkei Bavkei probably. In other words, even though you shouldn't pronounce the word, since it was so much Avodah Zarah, for the Gemara's mashma, is that there was anything mafasim shem Hashem. But what does that mean? That under normal circumstances, you're not mafasim shem Hashem in a world filled with Avodah Zarah. So it could possibly be for this reason, during the time of the Chumash, biblical times, when there was so much Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says repeatedly more in the Vuchim, during the time of the Chumash, Klal Yisrael were basically almost inundated, were, you know, in a culture of idolatry. So therefore the Shem Hashem, they never even used the name for the Shem, this concept of Shem Hashem, because they were worried it might be subject to a paganistic interpretation. It was only in later generations when monotheism became much more accepted that they were actually able to use a Shem Hashem, you know, for this philosophical concept of a Kadosh Baruch.
Zechariah is the very beginning of the second space of Mikdash.
And Achadami, right. And that's very interesting. And in fact, actually, when the Gemara... What?
After they killed the Avodah, after they... Or they Avodah Zarah?
Right. It's a very close to the Gemara says in, what's it, Samar Zayin, in Sanhedrin, that from the second Mikdash, they took away the... They took away the term for Avodah Zarah. So therefore, after that, you could probably start using a specific name for the Shem Hashem. No one was worried that you were referring to some type of pagan. No one would use it understand the paganistic way. But the first place of it, of course, one of the famous was Avodah Zarah. So in Akhalami, and the mice, the Gemara Kiddushin is speaking about the Bayashani. I mean, the Gemara Ayin Alf Kiddushin is speaking about Bayashani, not Bayashani. So in other words, that's one part of an explanation.
But what is it? I don't understand. Why is Boaz being Mefarsim Shem Hashem and Gidon?
That was like Eis L'Shem Sepeferu Sarasecha. Somehow they saw there, that's like an exception. It's like the Torah of Shem Chassav being written down. The Gemara in Blach, that's like an exception. Like something which appears to be an Aveira, something you can do it for a mitzvah.
So the Raya for there is, it's an Aveira, that's what
right, right. Now, the Raya for there is, you see, the Mefarsim is, right. That could possibly, in other words, The Gemara says it. I mean, the Gemara says be'esa avakansim pazer, be'esa pazer kanes. Could possibly be that certain times you want things to be secret. You want things to be secret, and therefore you don't want to expose things because some things could actually be corrupt, etc., etc. Okay. In any case, that's one explanation, right? That's the drama. The thing is that not to mention the fact, right? That's one explanation that I would give for the Ram, but there's an implication to that. There's an important implication to what I'm saying. The implication is in fact, actually, all this is Torah Shebi'al Peh. In other words, the Chumash, I mean, describes, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Harein Nas Kevedecha, Moshe Rabbeinu is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? What is your name? But the concept, of the necessarily existing God who doesn't exist in terms of any normal notion of predicate of existence is basically something which we have as part of an oral tradition. In other words, if I can't point to a pasuk, if I can't point to a verse in the Torah, the pasuk is referring to the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I can't point to actually a verse or a specific name of God which refers to this. So really, what the Rambam is saying is that the monotheistic concept of God is something that we have, or at least was an oral tradition, you know, one of the secrets of the Torah. Now, but it's not something we can point to in the Torah. In other words, it's not something that's before explicit in Scripture. It's an oral, something that's an oral tradition. Now, that leads us to the next step, because The fact is that one could raise the following question. How do we know that the Rambam's philosophic concept of the essence of God is that tradition which they had? Because in fact, after that tradition was lost. Just like the Gemara says in Kiddushin, in Daf Ayin Aleph, that we no longer know, they no longer taught people how to express, how to pronounce the ineffable four-letter name of God. And in fact, we say Atnus. We don't want to pronounce a name. So who's to say that the Rambam's entire exposition of the necessarily existent being, the subject of negative theology, is rooted in any Jewish tradition, in any Jewish Messiah? Maybe it's a Messiah, it could be a Messiah from Aristotle. But who's to say that this is in fact actually the Messiah that we have from the office of Kadesh, Moshe Rabbeinu? Not to mention the fact that later on, the Rambam says very clearly in Perek Ayin Aleph, this is on page 185 here in the Schwartz edition, and let's read inside there because it's a rather important Perek in which the Rambam, in a certain sense, is actually probably speaking about everything, right? That's written about in the Torah Levuchim. Says the Rambam, once again, Schwartz edition, this is Perek Ayin Aleph of Chelek Aleph, page 185. Da! Ki ha-chokhmois ha-rabois shehoyu ba-adaseinu le'imus ha-dvom ha-elu of the b'glal o'ech zaman. Many of the wisdoms that were in our nation were lost in the course of history. B'glal ishtalsus ha-umais ha-boyres ha-leinu, it became because of the persecution of other nations upon us. B'kemach ha-dvom ha-elu lo ha-yibu tom l'chol b'nei other. They weren't permitted to everybody. Now, clearly we saw that this concept was also a sign of the Torah. The Rambam is referred to as a sign of the Torah. Fishis banu. What was permitted was only what's written explicitly in Kisvei HaKodesh, and we've already proven it was written in Kisvei HaKodesh, at least certainly in the Chumash, it doesn't exist. Even halacha, the Torah Shabbat was not written down. Okay? So he says, right? Allah has come of a chama. I'm in the second paragraph of page 186, the second line of the second paragraph. How much more so? She'ein la'alais divin misisai toya ela al-sei fekashia muslim ne'adam. How much more so? That sisrei toya should not be written down. Elei nimsorim miyachidi skul le'yachid skuda kafi shabiyat l'cha b'dvorim ein muslim sisrei toya ela yoyitz kolchem chorosh yavadov v'lachash. Now, the question is like this. Asher l'diyunim hamuratim mizeh shidim tzal'in ha'yichud u'ma shekosh ha'bidin zeh eitzul mitzas ha'goyim ve'eitzul ha'koroyim ve'eil devoyim shekim lamin ha'medabim shebekev buslamin ve'eim muratim b'yezim b'yachat l'ma shekim v'buslamin. So he says some people claim that they have this Sifrei Torah. He says this comes from the Kalam. In any case, it's very, very interesting. I mean, this is a long subject which I don't have time for in the Shia, but the fact is, the Rambam says these things in terms of law. Actually, what are these Sifrei Torah that the Rambam is speaking about? And the Fosha Rambam might have said, Aristotelian philosophy of the Sifrei Torah. Moshe Navoni certainly said like that. But in any case, what we have here is an unbelievable problem. What the Rambam was coming to tell us is that factually, that things which are not explicitly written down in the Chumash, right, were an old tradition, and these chokmas have been lost. On the glory of Zaman. Now, maybe it doesn't mean all the chokmas. I mean, I'm sure that everybody listening is going to have an opinion of this. But the fact is, once I claim that something was an oral tradition, was not explicitly written down in the Torah, and the Rambam's attempt to identify the Shem Mufuresh, certainly with this concept, and we today, the Rambam's when we speak about the Bitur, being Mavat the Shem Mufuresh, we're speaking about the philosophical notion. So, how much more so, right, is the Rambam implying that in fact, we don't have a tradition on this? what is the implication? The implication, I would say, seems to me, is that what the Rambam seems to be saying, implying, is that in fact, his entire philosophical discourse of negative theology, which has covered all the chapters and all the 15 shiurim or 16 shiurim that we've given, right, is a philosophical construct and is not, in fact, something that we can actually be assured is rooted in any type of Messiah. Yeah? That seems to be the implication of the Rambam. Now, why does the Rambam say that here?
The question which was asked is how do you know Rambam? There's no Masorah, so how do you know Rambam got it right and take from Aristotle?
Right.
So what's the Teretz?
What's the Teretz? So, I mean, this is, right, this, right, I mean, first of all, this is a, so he says, the Rambam says in 186, Zoisi Asiba Shachai Vashikum Gedoil Eilu Niktu Me'ad Aseinu, many Ikrim, 186, in chapter 71. The many Ikrim were cut off from our nation. Ba'oivin Shaloi Timtza Eilu Ha'oriz Ma'otai, it's only small Ha'oriz. V'remizois, Ha'mofiyas B'talmul V'midroshois. Interesting, B'talmul V'midroshois. He doesn't say the Chomish. B'talmul V'midroshois, that's exactly what the Rambam says. In other words, how do I know that there's a secret shema mafulish, right? It's from the Talmud and Midrashas. Elim gagari toich mu'abtim, small little seeds, va'aleim klipas rabbis, there are many klipas on these things. Bo'ivich b'nei adam, this aska bo'izim klipas v'choshu, and many people are busy with the klipas, with the, you know, with the shells, and they think there's nothing else underneath this. Now, the fact is, right, is that the Rambam, what are the secrets of the Torah? I mean, the purpose of the Ma'ir Nevuchim is to explain Ma'isa Bereishis, Ma'isa Mekabel, which is the Rambam really explained at the Hakdamah of the Ma'ir Nevuchim. As you go through the Ma'ir Nevuchim, he never explains those secrets. He never explains those secrets. And of course, I mean, the entire history of Maimonian interpretation has been, what are these secrets? What are these secrets? So that Mimafoshim, like explained, who felt, no, the secrets of the Rambam are in fact Aristotle. Those are the secrets of the Torah. Some of Foshim would say the secrets of the Strauss said, the secrets of the Rambam is that I'm not from, or in other words, it's all Sheker. In other words, there have been many, many into secrets. But yeah. But the point is, I mean, we don't subscribe to either of them.
If I understood this correctly.
But in other words, yeah.
But Edson Rambam did get these secrets from Aristotle, but he finds Ramazim to them in Midrashim and Talmud.
Ah, so in other words, one could say is what the Rambam means by this is that the Rambam is trying to, in other words, the Rambam would understand what does Ramazim mean? Is that a remez? In other words, the Rambam claims that these things were lost. So what's the remez? So the Rambam might say that, look, in other words, this is what I understand to be the proper concept of God.
He rediscovered it himself.
Right, God. And then with this, I can now understand what that message is and what the pasuk says.
Right.
In other words,
he's
what the Rambam,
he's
in other words, what the Rambam is telling me in this parak is, this is what I'm doing in the section of negative theology.
It's like a very dangerous.
In other words, okay, of course it's dangerous. Everything's dangerous. No, I mean, that's what I mean. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is, he develops an entire philosophical understanding that God, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we can't make any positive statement about him. And things like existence and life, etc., are necessarily life. Necessary existence which have no meaning in terms of the normal concept of existence. The Rambam basically has made an entire philosophy of this. And the Rambam says, this seems to be the proper concept, the notion of monotheism, The only notion which is consistent with my understanding of God and man and the world. And in fact, right, it is possible to read this into the psukim. In other words, I can understand the psukim with these concepts. And that's what he says, the Ramazim. Now, it's interesting, he says, the Ramazim, Aaron Chazal. But in other words, the fact is that don't think that there's a Messiah on this, because on the contrary, there is no Messiah on this. What's interesting is the Ram goes on and says that many of these, the Yudim come from the Gainim, who come from and by the Karayim, who says they'll makabel them from the Kalam. Good, but the Ram is coming to Lafuke. In other words, some people claim they have a Messiah, they don't have a Messiah.
Because he's honest, he doesn't have a Messiah.
Right.
The scholars who say that Jews only became monotheists, Be'etzim, when they came back from Babel, I mean, the Rambam is really...
No, the Rambam...
But they only expressed their monotheism after they came back from Babel.
In other words, what happens is that, in other words, once these ideas are now expressed in philosophical texts, then already... It's a different culture. There's a different intellectual atmosphere. But the Rambam, Chas v'Shalom, I'm not saying that Jews. I mean, actually, the Jews themselves actually were idolaters.
But Avraham Avinu understood this.
But I'm right. This entire dialogue with Moshe Rabbeinu right. At the end of Parshas Ki Tsi, speaking about this.
But we have
no Messiah on this. There's
not even a remez to it.
You're right. The Chumash exactly hit it. So in other words. As a result of this, we can really understand really what is Perek Samech Dalet. In Perek Samech Dalet, the Rambam is telling you what he did and all the problem before this.
And he's doing the opposite of what he says he's doing.
Right. That's what it is. Now, the Rambam is always interesting. Mein Avochim is a fascinating text. Now, I want to go on to Parak Samech Hei. Because the fact is, after the Rambam has said everything he said about negative theology, in fact, some people read the Rambam, one says it's worse than the Avodah Zarah. The Rambam now is going to actually violate it. The Rambam is going to make a 180-degree turn. And this turn, in my opinion, begins in Perek Samech Hei. Once again, when the Rambam makes turns, he doesn't tell you he makes turns. He subtly makes turns, like subliminal consciousness. Like he flashes signs, and the well-attuned reader, the understanding reader, the reader that the Rambam says several times and at the end of the Mordechai Volker, the single reader who really understands these things, picks on to these things. Now, Perek Samech Hei, chapter 65, once again, we're in the Schwartz edition on page 166. La'acha shigata la'daga zois. After you reach this madrega, what an understatement. After you reach this madrega, Sha'ata yedeya yedias emes, you know the truth. Sha'akel yis'ala nimtza shaloi b'teikev b'tzius. God exists, but not in the normal, not because he, in other words, he doesn't exist in the sense of other things existing. He necessarily exists. V'echad shaloi b'teikev actus. He's one and not in the normal concept of oneness. Eini sova sh'ata zokek sh'tuz balakha shlidas toya hadibu b'menu. So, certainly, says the Rambam, certainly he can't speak. I don't have to tell you that when it says that Kosh Baruch Hu speaks, it doesn't mean that through the movements of his tongue and his lips, he's producing sound waves. Ma'gam sha'uma shalano maskima pe'echad sha'teira nivres. Everybody agrees that the Torah, which means God speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Klal Yisrael, doesn't mean that God himself spoke. That's Avodah Zarah, that's paganism, that's a violation of what the Rambam has said. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created speech. In other words, speech is like anything which he creates. HaKavana v'kach, Shadipa miyuchas loy nivra. When we say God spoke, it means God created speech. He created speech waves, sound waves. Who yuchas lo rab b'nei shakol she'oitzer shema Moshe hakel bo v'yotzra. In other words, the call that Moshe Rabbeinu heard was created by God. K'moshe bo es kol asher bo v'yotzra. Just like he created everything else. V'od yovoy dion rab al nevuah. We'll speak about this later. Says the Rambam in nevuah. In other words, to say God's speech, says the Rambam, is not an exception. Just like you say, because Bo can't walk, he can't talk, don't think the speech is something special. Well, some people might think, I agree, because Bo can't walk, he can't sit down, he can't stand up, he can't eat, but he can speak. Says the Rambam, speech is no different than anything else. Moshe Rabbeinu at Klai Yisrael heard something at Har Sinai. It was a creation. Just like they saw clouds, they saw lightning, they heard speech. Alkein hudachu hadeyas l'kach sheyesh di alokis asher oisei hanaviyim masigim ayidei shakel diva aleyem v'yom aleyem kedei shenoyde shenyonim eilu asher heim avim eilu minakel eidem machshvatam v'shikol taitam greit. In other words, basically, this is the way we're supposed to think about, right, with the Nevi'im here, Kosh Baruch's speech. It means that it's a created speech.
Is there enough communion between God speaking and God creating sound waves? When we speak, we create sound waves.
Yeah, but you see, speaking first with physical action in person. In other words, okay. The Rambam,
so
you know, we're not being mechaches the action of God to the actual thing. It's an act, no, a speech is a natural phenomenon. We spoke about that. In other words, God's acts, God doesn't do the, it's not an action that God does.
Right.
It's a phenomenon which I see in the world, which I relate to God. In other words, when I hear God speak, when I hear a sound,
right,
and I say, this sound was made by God. But when you speak, you're actually speaking. You're doing, there's a verb.
Right.
But God's not a verb. There's only an object, a preposition.
Okay, fine.
You're saying this when you say it now. Says the Rambam, though. What we want to do right now is to say sometimes Dibur and Amira can have different meanings. And what's Bitu Mishuta means, like the Rambam's been saying all now, we use language, but we use the same terms in different circumstances. Uchal al ha-goya b'loshen k'goyin da'aprik Moshe yadabir v'yem ha-pali. In other words, sometimes it refers to, in other words, speech. Uchal ha-inyin ha-metsuya b'seichel mi'bli la-ha-goyis b'fet. But says the Rambam, sometimes when it says v'yadavel, it speaks about thought. For example, v'amalti ani b'libi, v'dibalti b'libi, in Kohelis. I said in my heart. Now, here we're not speaking about speech, we're speaking about thought. I thought. Libcha yadavel. Lech oma libi, v'yoyme esa b'liba. Baruch Hashem for the Chumash, at least esa. So in other words, sometimes the word dibur or omar refers to what a person is thinking. The Torah, you know what? The Torah can use dibur, dalet beis reish and alef mem reish, to refer to making sound waves, but also can refer to thought. V'uchal al ha-rotzon. Sometimes when you say omar, refers to rotzon, a will. V'yoyim elahak says David. He wanted to kill David. V'rotzon, he wanted to kill him. But the Mitzri said to Moshe, Rabbeinu, do you want to kill me? Okay. So now, what we have is that the Rambam has established that Dibur and Amira, Dalav Meresh and Alav Meresh, are not only verbs that describe a physical act, or describe an act which produces a sound wave. But sometimes in the Torah, they can refer to either thought or to will. Okay? Now, what is the implication of this? So, in Yitz Hashem, right, this is going to be very, very important, because the fact is that the Rambam now is going to switch gears. Okay? Says the Rambam, page 168. Now, once again, we're in the middle of chapter 65. So, it's like Haydn's Surprise Symphony. He's going on and on. And all of a sudden, right now, we're going to switch gears. How do we switch gears? Kach, similarly. In other words, just as we said above, that when we refer to people, when Dalet Beis Reish and Aleph Mem Reish, in the human context, we refer not only to speech, but also to thought and to willing. Kach, says the Rambam, in the same way, page 168, the first line, Gam kein amira v'dipo ha'bois mi'chosis lekel, harei hein mishtei ha'mashmois ha'choynois. Sometimes, amira and dipo, when they relate to God, also have these meanings. Kavanosi shehein oikinoi lechefetz ulerotzoin, oikinoi le'inyin amuva minakel, beinim noida ayidei kol nivra, oi noida b'derach b'dach enavua, she'oid nivra oisam, Now, what's the Rambam saying? Very, very important. When we're speaking about Ratzon, will, in other words, when I make a sound, so clearly there's a physical phenomenon, which is an act, which is the maisa, which is a phenomenon in nature. I can ascribe that to God. Okay? But what do you mean? What do we mean we say God's will, God wants? There's no physical phenomenon which is will. What it could be is, right, that God can make it known through speech. In other words, like the Rambam says, right? Im noida yidei kol nivra, o noida b'derach b'dach ha'inavua. Lo shu yis'ala diva b'yayis. And when God doesn't speak, right, that there are sound waves, or it's not a bali nefesh, in other words, God's rasoin can be made known through speech. So it's very good. So the speech is something created. But if I say that Omer and Dibur means that God wills, I can't explain that in terms of a phenomenon itself. In other words, clearly the Rambam now is somehow coming, like inching very, very carefully to say that there are verbs that actually can describe God. In other words, God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't speak in a physical sense. But when I say God wills, I can say God wills. And the Torah will actually call that by the words Aleph Mem Reish or Dalet Beis Reish. Clearly, there's a subtle change and shift in the Rambam. Rabbeisai, we are coming now to undo the entire negative theology with the Rambam. Like he said to us, after you've reached this Madrega. In other words, the Rambam says at the beginning of Perek Samachay, after you reach this Madrega, which means after you reach Madrega, and I've told you, well, not to believe, now you can believe it. Okay? In Yirtzeh Hashem, right, we will leave you here on this precipice, right? We have incredible things to speak about in the remainder of this Perek, and in one or two Pukim, finally culminating in Perek Samech Ches. Until then, from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim HaKadosh, Hatzlacha v'Chol Tov.